So, it is time for us to get lawyered up, as we do every single Tuesday here on The Shakedown. And once again, here to help us is our resident lawyer. Her name is Zanele Ngakane. Hello.
Dumelang.
What's up? All right.
You're right.
Kneecaps are still intact.
Yeah. My kneecaps are here. Okay. I'm even from town, from court itself.
Yes.
And I'm intact.
Okay. Fantastic. All right. So, we've got another case. I'm told did receive a DM from someone who is looking for advice on how to handle a tricky situation that he's in right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, this was following last week's 101.
Chat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Munashe Muzamani sent me a DM.
Okay.
No comment.
He says, just been listening. I borrowed someone R1,000 some 5+ years back. Mm. He gave me his children's birth certificates because he's Zimbabwean, and I had taken them as a guarantee of returning the payment, right? Until now, it's still quiet. What should I do when the agreement was that he would bring it back with 50% interest?
Mm-hmm. Hectic. So let's start very simply, right? Mm. This happens all the time. You borrow someone money, 600 Rand, 500 Rand, 1,000 Rand, whatever the case might be. How do you get that money back? What is the process that one can follow in order to get that money back?
Sure. So a very interesting theme that keeps coming up throughout our sessions is this concept of a written agreement versus an oral agreement.
Yes.
Most of the time, between me and you as friends or people that we know, just regular people, we always generally have oral agreements. So the first thing that he has to do is obviously prepare first of all, place him in mora, which is basically debt, right? So you have to be late. And then what he would have to do is, he'd have to send out a letter of demand.
Okay.
Yes. So the first thing is your letter of demand. That's the first thing that you do when you have a claim against somebody. Then once you have done that, you'll give them a fair period. In the small claims court, they specify it's 14 days, but just generally we give anything between 7 days and 21 days, depending on the nature of the claim. And then you will, after that period, be entitled to issue a summons, which basically means go to court and bring a claim.
Yes.
The process for that is quite lengthy, but it all starts with a summons.
Okay.
We all know someone that's received a summons, or maybe you've issued a summons, or you know, so you understand what that is just generally. So we'd have to issue a summons, and then the process would go, and it's a bit like, I don't know if you've done debating in high school.
I tried to. I wasn't very successful.
No, I wasn't good at it. But basically, it will be an arrangement where you start off by telling us what you're claiming.
Yeah.
The other side will have an opportunity to respond to those papers, and then you get to respond one last time, and then the door is closed, and then we run the matter is heard before a judge, and that's what we all see on TV. So you would have to prepare yourself for that, and you can either do that in the magistrate's court if it's less than 400,000, in the high court if it's more than 400,000, and if it's less than 20,000, you can go to the small claims court. And we've previously dealt with the benefits of the small claims court. You don't need an attorney there. Everybody must represent themselves. There's no opportunity to come with a lawyer. So to create equity and a fair playing ground, that's the best place to go if you can't afford a lawyer and your claim is for less than 20,000. So those are basically the basics of recovering your money. Then you'll get a judgment, hopefully, in a perfect world. And then you will go to the sheriff with your judgment, and you will ask him to go and attach Nia Brown's shoes or whatever. Take her dreadlocks. Give me those faux locks. So whatever the case may be, I mean, there's limitations there as well, because this is a pre-democratic South Africa, and the constitution plays a big role in everything that we do. So I mean, you cannot attach somebody's primary residence. If it's a house that I live in and I don't have another option, that is off bounds, unless the court declares otherwise. It's very difficult to get them to agree to that.
So
but everything else is fair game. I had a man who took my e-wallet about 2 weeks ago. And I intend to attach his fridge. So it's fair game, other than your primary residence.
So Mto asked a very interesting question when we were off air earlier on.
It was getting into the matter of debt when it comes to deceased peoples, right? if I die, does my debt go away?
Sure. Your debt does not go away, but there are very, very serious limitations.
Mm.
So the first thing that happens when you pass away is that an executor will be appointed to your estate.
Mm-hmm.
Your executor will make every effort to determine who your creditors are. He will then send a notice out to all creditors and potential creditors.
Mm.
It's at that point that you as a creditor have an opportunity to come forth and inform the executor of your claim.
Mm.
And I as a creditor can be a company or a person?
An individual, 100%.
Mm. I see, yeah. I see.
At the point when you've informed the executor in just very broad strokes will prepare an account, which is basically setting out all your assets, all your liabilities, and everything that's left over is for your beneficiaries. There are certain protected assets that a deceased has that must go on to the beneficiaries prior to deduction.
Okay.
But those that are subject to deduction will be subject to deduction.
Okay.
And so at that point, it is for the creditor to come forward.
Mm.
If the creditor does not do that, he misses his opportunity. There is another concept in law that we refer to as prescription.
Mm.
To summarize, it's expiry of debt.
Yes.
To put it into basic terms. Your debt can prescribe or expire. And it is a period of 3 years for most debts.
Mm.
There are other periods in respect of other claims, but the debts that you and I incur most days, it's a 3-year period.
Mm.
If you wait longer than 3 years and you try and approach the court for relief or assistance, they're not going to come to your assistance.
Mm.
They're going to ask you why you took longer than 3 years. And only in very, very, very exceptional circumstances will the court actually just accept that prescription must be, you know, overlooked.
Yes.
But generally, it's very difficult to do that. And so, yeah, you have 3 years.
Okay. Hmm. All right. In a couple of moments, we're going to deal with the particular situation that is at hand and try to see how we can help this person out. I've now forgotten his name because you've also just
butchered
it. No.
Said it in the most interesting way.
Munashe.
Munashe.
Okay.
We're
going to chat about his particular situation in just a moment.
Do you?
Dealing with the situation, I'm told, received a DM from someone who is complaining about the fact that there is someone who owes them money from plus 5 years ago.
Yeah.
This particular person gave them birth certificates to hold on to as a way to say, listen, I'm going to give you the money back. It's been more than 5 years. The money has not returned. Mm-hmm. And so Munashe is now looking for a way out of this situation. So let's talk about this. And once again, sorry, Zanelengakane is joining us in the studio to help us out with the situation. Cool. So, Zanele, let's talk about this ID thing that stresses me out. Because yesterday when we were talking about lenders and creditors and Mashonisas keeping people's IDs and whatever, do you think that it would be a good idea for Munashe to keep the IDs? And what do you think about him having the IDs to begin with?
Sure.
As a way to make sure that the person pays the money back?
Mm. To begin with, it's unlawful to withhold anybody's ID document in lieu of a debt.
Mm.
Start there. But secondly, it's the most impractical thing in the world.
Mm.
Just from a practical perspective, if somebody owes me money, what am I going to do with their ID 5 years later? It's not worth the money they've borrowed from me.
Mm.
So really, from a practical point of view, that's not the way to go about it. How I would suggest, if you loan some money to somebody, think about when we're in university.
Mm.
We'd go and ask for a loan, and they would tell you, great, I'm going to give you 30,000 rand for the next 4 or 5 years or however long you take.
Yeah.
It's me, it's 7 years.
Some longer than others.
Yeah. And so they will sponsor, basically give you a loan for your studies. But they'll never give me, Zanele, the loan because I have no financial means of paying it back. If things go wrong, they have nowhere to go to claim that money.
Yes.
So they always ask, go and find somebody who has the means and can demonstrate that they can pay this money back if you fail to do so.
Mm.
And that's exactly what I would recommend, that anybody who loans small amounts or large amounts, you know, small is relative.
Yes.
1,000 rand to me is a lot, and it might be a little bit to someone else.
Mm.
So depending on how important it is to you, obviously,
yes,
you would get them to go and find somebody else who has the means, and you would conclude what is referred to as a suretyship agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Suretyship as in, sure, I'm going to pay you back.
Yes.
Surety, yes. I got this.
Yes, yes, yes.
So basically it's an undertaking that if the other person can't pay me, I have your back.
Yes.
I'm going to come through for you.
Mm.
And so that's what I would do if I was loaning money, rather than holding on to an ID, if I wanted some kind of security.
Yeah.
Does the surety person, whoever you're signing up as your surety, say I'm now Slay Queen and my name's Faith. And I want my sugar daddy to be my surety. Is that fine, or does it have to be someone who's related to
Absolutely
me?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
It's anybody who's foolish enough or wild enough trusting enough or loving enough to put themselves up as surety. So my boss could put himself up as surety. If I get myself in a sticky situation and I owe a mashonisa 200 rand and I say to him, listen, I'm going to loan this money from FNB because they're not going to take out my kneecaps. then he'll say, great, what do you need? And I'll say, I need you to go as suretyship because we all know I have no money.
Yeah.
And he can go. So it's anybody who's willing to do it, basically.
And that person would have to agree to it and sign off on it as well.
100%. Yes. There are very strict rules about suretyship agreements and the compliance of those. They have to be in writing. This is one of those times where we can't argue that there was an oral agreement. It has to be in writing, has to be signed by both parties. And the other thing that I can think of off the top of my head is that there must be witnesses. Those are the main pillars of a suretyship agreement outside of the content of what it must say. So, you know, Google is a real thing. And if you do want to conclude a suretyship agreement, I think it's probably the best place to start.
Yes.
To the extent that you can't afford an attorney.
Okay. All right. So, Menashe's situation, we're going to give the advice. I mean, we've said quite a bit.
Yeah.
But in a couple of moments, we're going to be more direct and just see what it is that can be done with this particular situation. So stick around for that. We're trying to help out Menashe. We explained the situation earlier on. Plus 5 years ago, he borrowed someone some money, lent someone some money. Money has not come back, and ene o tshwere debit certificate. But we've spoken about that, right? So now let's focus on Menashe's issue. This contract of theirs, oral contract, has clearly prescribed.
100%.
Right?
About 2 years ago.
Okay. So it's 3 years.
Yes.
And then it's done. Yes.
How is there any way that he can, in a very creative, clever way, try to recover his money?
Because it doesn't look like he's winning right now. Mm-hmm. Everything is against him. Birth certificates won't do or help anything. And it's prescribed.
It's prescribed, yeah. Look, I mean, there's two things that I should have mentioned earlier. The first is that there are a number of things that interrupt prescription. So if you don't want your claim to prescribe, you must either issue a summons or get them to sign an acknowledgement of debt. So on that note, there's an old Chinese proverb that says, he who blows nose without handkerchief takes matters into own hands. Menashe, it's time for you to take matters into your own hands.
Yes.
So without having fully, you know, having spoken to Menashe, that's the difficulty, and without having fully researched this, the one thing that I can think of, if I was being creative and I was on Suits right now, I would say that he should somehow try and figure out a way to get his debtor to sign an acknowledgement of debt agreement. What he could say to him is, look, I'm a kind guy. I just want you to, let's come up with a payment arrangement for this 1,000 rand.
Yes.
First, you have to admit that you owe me the 1,000 rand, and then promise that you're going to pay it in 100 rand increments over the next 10 years. If you fail to pay one installment, the full amount becomes immediately due and payable today. By doing that, you are creating a new cause of action.
Yes.
In law, they call it novation, which is just like it's a rebirth of your claim. And so you would be novating the cause of action or the claim. And then he could, at a later date, once he inevitably misses on the payment arrangement, if he misses any of those dates, he can rely on, he can rely on that agreement.
Yes.
As opposed to the original
agreement from 5 years ago.
Yes, it's new facts.
Yes.
You signed an agreement and you haven't paid, and it's immediately due and payable.
Now, I want to get this clear, right? If I keep quiet for 3 years.
When you owe someone money.
And I owe someone money, and they have not claimed for me.
Yes. It's over.
It's over. Yes. I don't owe anyone anymore.
Fedile. Yes. Okay. You must shut up. Shut up. You don't phone your creditors reminding them, hey, like, yeah, call out. Do you know that tomorrow your claim was coming? Better issue that summons.
What disturbs prescription?
Okay, so it's the summons, issuing of a summons or an acknowledgement.
From the creditor.
Yeah. So you owe me Mto. I issue a summons against you because now I'm tired.
You know? I see.
It's been 2 years and 364 days and I'm issuing my summons today. That will interrupt prescription.
Okay.
Even if it takes 100 years for the matter to be heard in court, we all know how court is. Everything takes forever because of the, you know, the processes and also delays at court. But even if it takes 10 years, it's fine because we've interrupted that clock that keeps ticking.
Yes.
The other thing is to get an acknowledgement of debt agreement. But what you need to understand about the acknowledgement of debt, it doesn't interrupt prescription per se. What it does is it resets the clock.
Yes.
But the clock keeps ticking. So the day you sign it, you start back at day one. So you still need to be aware at that point. Now, don't be sleeping and let another 3 years go by.
Yeah.
Because at this point now, I'm sure the person will become alive to the issue of prescription. So, take matters into own hands.
Well, this is why people that owe us just keep quiet.
Yeah.
Legally, it's on their side.
100%.
Exactly.
Hectic.
You need to just keep running. Running until one day you get that summons and then it's too late.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Zanele, thank you so much once again for helping us out, for helping Menashe out as well. I hope he was listening and I'm sure that he's taken away quite a bit of information from this situation. Once again, if you need some help and you need to get lawyered up and you need Zanele Ngakane to help you out, be sure to reach out to him too.
Yes, at MTHAUX on Insta, on Twitter, whatever's convenient for you, just reach out to me.
Exactly. Zanele, thank you so much. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you. I've had a wonderful time.
Yeah.